At the end of verse 11, Paul says, they have proved to be a comfort, an encouragement to me. He doesn't elaborate. He just says, these men, these three men, one of them a prisoner, two of them not prisoners, have been an encouragement to me. When Paul's in prison, he was encouraged by them. In verses 12 and 13, he talks about Epaphras. He says he's concerned about the Christians in Colossae and Laodicea and Hierapolis, two nearby towns. He says that Epaphras, in verse 13, has a great zeal for you. Other translations say he's working hard for you. He's worked strenuously for you. Now, we don't know exactly what that means, but Paul gives us a little bit of a hint in verse 12. He says that Epaphras always labors fervently for you in prayer. His concern for other Christians was expressed in the time he spent in prayer and the quality of his prayers. Apparently, he spent a lot of time praying for other Christians. Think about what you have prayed about this past week. If you're like me, it was mostly about me. Wasn't true with Epaphras. His prayers were mostly about other people. A characteristic of a transformed life will be a concern for others in the body of Christ. Now again, Jesus models that for us. Not only was Jesus concerned for the eternal welfare of people, and he was, he wanted people to recognize him as the Messiah. He wanted people to go to heaven. But he was also concerned for what was going on in their everyday lives. Seven times in the New Testament, it says Jesus had compassion or was filled with compassion. His concern for others moved him to give sight to the blind and to feed the hungry and to heal the sick and to raise the dead and to cast out demons. He met people at the point of their greatest need and he showed concern for them. As Christians, we have been called to live a transformed life. We have been called to show a genuine concern for others, to encourage others. Just think back. Who was the last person you encouraged in their faith? Who was the last person that you prayed for? That's what happens in a transformed life. Our lives become about other people and not so much about us. Well, the third characteristic that the Apostle Paul points out is the characteristic of serving. Again, we get back to Tychicus. He was involved in all three of these. It says, Tychicus, verse 7, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. Epaphras, in verse 12, Epaphras is one of you, a bondservant of Christ. Paul referred to Tychicus as a fellow servant. He referred to Epaphras as a bondservant. These men were known by their servant hearts. They had given their lives to serve other people in the body of Christ. One of the great characteristics of Jesus was his servant heart, his servant attitude. In Mark chapter 10, it says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Stop and think about that statement for a moment. That's a powerful statement. The Son of Man, Jesus, God Almighty, the sinless one, the perfect one, the one before whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. That one came not so we could serve Him, but so He could serve us. From a human perspective, it would only be right for us to say we should be serving Him, but He came to serve us. Serving others was a trademark of God Himself. Jesus was a servant. Philippians chapter 2 says that in His coming, He took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He was the eternal King who became the servant of men. It's in that same passage in Philippians chapter 2 that Paul says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." That is, we are to serve others like Jesus served others. That's the mark of a transformed life. Serving others. Now, hidden in this last section of Colossians is a warning. And if you are a Bible scholar, you probably picked up on that warning as we read it earlier. I want you to see a warning for the transformed life. Look at verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Demas is an interesting character in the New Testament. At this point in his life, he is serving with the Apostle Paul. Paul also mentions him in the book of Philemon and calls him a fellow laborer. Excuse me. Anyone who looked at Demas's life at this point in his life would have said that he had been transformed, that he was living like Jesus. But along the way, something happened in Demas's life. When you come to the last of Paul's writings in the book of 2 Timothy, which most Bible scholars believe is the last New Testament book that Paul wrote, he says this, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." Something happened in Demas's life between the writing of books Colossians and Philemon and the writing of book 2 Timothy. Something changed his life. From a human perspective, he went from a transformed life to a conformed life. He went from living like Jesus to loving this present world. And in the life of Demas, there is a warning for all of us. And the warning in Demas's life is that living the transformed life today is no guarantee that you will live it tomorrow. Living a transformed life today is no guarantee that you will live it tomorrow. Faithfulness today does not guarantee our faithfulness tomorrow. Concern for others today does not guarantee our concern for them tomorrow. Serving today does not guarantee serving tomorrow. The Christian life demands a day-by-day effort. That's why Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, "Timothy, fight the good fight of faith." The Christian faith is not a one-and-done situation. Yes, it's one-and-done when it comes to your eternal security in Christ, but it's not one-and-done in terms of that's all you need to do. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 15 that we are to strive together. Specifically in that context, he's talking about prayer. But it's a good application to all of our lives, every area of our lives. We are to strive together in our Christian life. The writer of Hebrews told us to run with endurance the race that is set before us. with endurance. You don't give up. You keep running. You keep exerting yourself. You keep trying. The Apostle Paul said, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Even the Apostle Paul, and none of us have lived the life that the Apostle Paul lived. Even the Apostle Paul says, I have to keep pressing on. I have to keep pressing on. I have to keep pressing on. That's what the Christian life is, folks. It's pressing on day after day, moment after moment in your life. And if you don't do that, then you're going to be like Demas. Demas ran well for a time. I don't know if you've ever watched a marathon. Unfortunately, when we see marathons on television, they always focus just on the few front runners. But there are hundreds and hundreds of people behind them. Take the Boston Marathon, the New York Marathon, the Olympic Marathon. And there are people who drop out along the way. I will guarantee you, if I had to run a marathon, I would get about the first half mile in and I would drop out. That's how the Christian life is for many people. They don't press on. They don't keep working at it. Demas ran well, at least for a time, but at some point he gave up and he failed. Living the transformed life today is no guarantee that you will live the transformed life tomorrow. You have to press on. Now, the Apostle Paul concludes this epistle, verses 16 through 18. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the churches of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains, grace be with you. Amen. I want to leave you with one last observation from the book of Colossians about the transformed life. And that is the responsibility of a transformed life. You see it with Archippus in verse 17. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Scholars have suggested that Archippus was the son of Philemon, to whom the book of Philemon was written. If you look back at the book of Philemon, here's how Paul addresses it. To Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. The name Apphia is a female name. Some have said, well, that must have been Philemon's wife. Archippus may have been their son. Some have suggested that he was the pastor of the church in Colossae. And so Paul exhorts him here at the end of the book to take care of the ministry that God has given him so he fulfills it. I think there's a principle for the Christian life that we can take from Paul's statement to Archippus, and that is we each have a responsibility to fulfill the ministry. And when I use the word ministry, I'm not talking about you being a pastor or a missionary or a Sunday school teacher. I'm simply talking about whatever opportunity God has given you. We each have a responsibility to fulfill the ministry that God has given to us. That's the responsibility of a transformed life, to fulfill whatever God has given you to do. And the primary ministry that God has given to each of us is to live like Jesus. We have been transformed so that we can reflect Jesus to the world. And so as we come to the end of the book and we look at Archippus, the question for us is, who are we reflecting? Who are you reflecting to other people? What do people see when they look at you? There was a song written some years ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago, by a Christian writer entitled, "Do They See Jesus in Me?" Let me read you just the first verse in the chorus. "Is the face that I see in the mirror the one I want others to see? Do I show in the way that I walk in my life the love that you've given to me? My heart's desire is to be like you in all that I do, all I am." Do they see Jesus in me? Do they recognize your face? Do I communicate your love and your grace? Do I reflect who you are in the way I choose to be? Do they see Jesus in me? That's an appropriate question. Do they see Jesus in me? As we wrap up our study in the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul has told us that we have been transformed by Jesus. We've been changed. We've been changed from sinners to saints. We've been changed from outside the family of God to inside the family of God. We've been changed from an eternity separated with God to an eternity with God. We have been changed from living in the image of Satan to living in the image of God. But the question is, do people see that? Are we living like Jesus? Are we living the transform? Positionally, we have been transformed. Practically, we have to strive to live like Jesus. As we close our study now of the book of Colossians, can I encourage you simply to ask yourself, what do people see in me? Do they see Jesus? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the study of this relatively small book, but an important book. Lord, as we have looked at the transformation that takes place in our lives when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we take comfort in the fact that you have placed us in your family. We're no longer estranged from you, but now we are adopted by you. But we don't always live like Jesus. Forgive us where we have failed to be like Jesus. Help us, Father, to strive to be the kind of people that we know we should be, to be the kind of people that you want us to be. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Some announcements.